her into the library. When she looked up at him inquiringly, he registered that violet smudges lay under her eyes. "Shall we sit?" he asked, but it wasn't really a question. Diana sat, hands folded in her lap, and regarded him mutely. She was an extraordinarily well-behaved young lady, as a future duchess should be, he told himself. His uneasiness growing stronger, he chose his words carefully. "Are you entirely happy with our upcoming wedding, Diana?" He almost said Miss Belgrave. She returned his gaze for a moment before she looked down at her hands.
"Certainly," she murmured.
Bloody hell. Alaric was right. She didn't like him. This match was a mistake. But he still wanted her, and he was all too used to getting what he wanted. Perhaps she was merely shy. Perhaps. Discarding the question of gentlemanly conduct, he tilted up her chin and lowered his mouth to hers. For a second, they were frozen in place, like lovers in a painting. Her lips parted in surprise, and he couldn't help himself, coaxing her lips wider as he tasted her. Her tongue met his, curious, innocent. He deepened the kiss, and her arms rose and curled around his neck. She made an inarticulate, sweet sound that hit him like a blow. If he didn't stop now, he would ease her backward and kiss her until she moaned again and again, until she abandoned all propriety, cried into his mouth, begged him for more. Making an iron effort, he pulled back before he could lose control. Diana was staring at him, beautiful eyes wide, mouth open.
"You will be a marvellous duchess,"
North whispered, his voice deep and low. For a moment, he saw pleasure in her eyes, a surprised delight. But another emotion, sorrow, guilt, followed just as quickly. She pulled away and jumped to her feet. Before he could stand, Diana bobbed a curtsy and said that she needed to visit the lady's retiring room to pin up her hem. That was the last time he saw her. She jilted him without a note, his ring left carelessly on her dressing table, along with her other jewellery. She took only a hatbox with her on the public stagecoach. North travelled to London, but discovered Diana's mother knew nothing of her flight. He searched for months, and finally, on the eve of his regiment's leaving for America, he found her. Diana answered the door of a small cottage far from London. Sunlight loved her, he thought numbly. It lit the perfect cream of her cheek, the shadow cast by her fringe of eyelashes. Diana stared up at him in shock, a simple bonnet framing her face. Deluded fool that he was, he found himself memorizing every detail so that he could take it with him into war. He could have sworn that she was happy to see him, if astounded to see him in uniform. Perhaps they could make this work. He could find out what made her flee and fix it. Then a cry sounded from behind her, high and young, full of tears. A baby on the verge of wailing. A child who couldn't be his. Diana's eyes met his.
"I'm sorry, North," she whispered. "I'm so sorry."
Frost settled deep in his bones, though perhaps he should have felt the chill in his chest. His world shifted. Without another word, he turned and strode away, swung himself up onto his horse, and spurred into a gallop. The dust rose up to meet him, and he welcomed it. An officer and a gentleman blinked his eyes to rid them of grit. Never a tear. Beatrix's Babble, by subscription only, March 12th, 1780. Young ladies swooning over the infamous adventurer and author Lord Wilde may not realise that his older brother Lord Roland now rivals him in infamy. Beatrix has learned that the future Duke's exploits on the American continent were many, and of the sort that would make a proper woman faint dead away. Matrons among us will remember that Lord Roland's engagement was abruptly broken off nearly 2 years ago.